Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm Jesse Spector, the editor of LockedOnYankees.com, a lifelong New Yorker and a former daily news and sporting news guy, now found in a variety of other places as a freelancer, including here. It'll be fun. Let's have fun. And it was a fun day at Yankee Stadium as the Yankees had their home opener and had a big 11-4 win over the Tampa Bay Rays, led by Didi Gregorius, setting team records for a shortstop in general and for anybody in a home opener with 8 RBI. Didi missed the cycle by a triple because he hit 2 home runs to go with his double and his single, as well as a walk. A great day for him. Jordan Montgomery pitched real well. Giancarlo Stanton did not have a good day. He got booed for striking out 5 times, which is absolutely ludicrous, but I guess the thing that happens. We'll get more into that later, but first, let's just go straight out to Yankee Stadium, where we'll be joined by me, as well as Gary Phillips and Larry Fleischer.
Obviously, the first thing we got to talk about is Didi Gregorius, right?
Oh, absolutely. What a show that he put on. I mean, this guy not only has had the best game of his career, the guy's setting records for production by a shortstop ever in Yankee history. I mean, and not only that, it's a rare feat. 7th time in Major League history a shortstop had at least 8 RBIs. I mean, it's like Aaron Boone said, he really is a money player. When you're going back to the home run that he hit against the Twins after the Yankees got to the early hole, he is really coming up with some big hits.
And not just the bat. You know, one of the things Aaron Boone talked about after the game was he's got a tremendous glove as well, which he showed off today. It kind of gets lost in the home run highlights and the 8 RBIs, but this is one of the best all-around shortstops in baseball.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, one of the things was he comes up in the 8th inning. It's a blowout at that point. It's an 8-4 game then. You know, he comes up. He's already got 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, plus a double, and he goes up there. You know, a lot of guys would swing for the fences, and he just, you know, calmly pops in a 2-run single, could have had 10 RBIs, winds up with 8, and that's a hell of a day on its own, right?
Well, that's his game, but also kind of his personality. You know, he's never trying to be the guy. He never wants the attention. You know, look at the tweet he sent out after the game. He does those after every Yankee win, congratulates whoever had a big performance. Only guy he mentioned today was Jordan Montgomery. He hits 8 RBIs himself, and he doesn't even give himself a little pat on the back. So that's just who he is.
I felt like he also made a good point about Stanton getting booed and his own experience with it, of just like, yeah, they want you to do well here.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the fans wanting them to do well. It happens to every notable guy when they struggle. Tino Martinez, Jason Giambi, Mark Teixeira, anyone else you could think of. And, well, if you are going to strike out 5 times, you might as well do it in a game where the guy behind you drives in 8 runs and your team wins 11-4. You might as well just get it out of the way. Yeah. Now,
Gary, what did you think of Stanton's day?
You know, guys have bad days. We know what type of hitter Stanton is, and in the same regards, judges the same way. I think more than anything, it's an indication on the silliness of the fans booing a guy after 5 strikeouts. I mean, this is the reigning NL MVP we're talking about. He's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt that he's going to be fine, and I thought that he handled it well himself. I mean, he was like, yeah, that's going to happen when you strike out 5 times. And it is. Like, that, you know, for better or for worse, that's New York. Like, guys get booed. Everybody gets booed. And it happens. And, you know, at least he can know he'll never have a worse game as a hitter at Yankee Stadium than the one he had today.
What I think is more significant is you look at what he didn't do today and what this offense was still able to accomplish. It's terrifying.
Yeah. They are something. Gary Sanchez is doing nothing. Stan, obviously, today did nothing. Really hasn't done very much of anything since opening day in Toronto when he hit the 2 home runs. He's drawn a couple of walks, and that's, you know, pretty much been it. And, you know, Judge is hitting a little bit. And I've been impressed by the at-bats that Judge is taking and his willingness to, especially when he gets to 2 strikes, it seems like he's a lot more willing now to go and, you know, go for a single and just try to take what he's given.
I've also been impressed with the fact that he's not, like, giving in to the pitchers who are trying to get him to chase, which he did a lot last year when he had that massive slump for about 6 weeks. So, I mean, you look at him, I mean, he's hitting 278 and he hasn't even homered yet. And here's a game where he doesn't, him and Stanton really just have two hits combined, and they score 11 runs. It's really impressive. And when you think about what it might look like when all three, if all three are this productive,
it's funny with Judge, because at this point we kind of know what the playbook is with him. You know, soft speed, pound him inside, and that's what pitchers have been doing to him so far early this season. And yet he's still getting on base, he's still getting hits, and he's not changing his approach or losing patience, which shows a lot of maturity as a hitter.
Yeah, I want to talk about a couple other things now that we didn't really get to, and that were kind of smaller parts of the game in retrospect, but still important. One of them being the bullpen. I know that in a different situation, not being his first start of the year, better weather conditions, whatever, I think he sent Jordan Montgomery out for a sixth inning, and that's probably not as much of an issue. And, you know, this first time through the rotation, the Yankees have taken some starters out of games early where otherwise they might go longer, and the bullpen is at a point right now where whatever it is, Aaron Boone can't seem to quite click the right button, and it's just, you know, today it's Jonathan Holder can't get guys out, and then Tommy Canley comes in. He's one pitch away from getting out of an inning, and, you know, winds up giving up the tying hit to Denard Spann that then sets the stage for the big rally afterwards that turns this game into a blowout.
But you know what was more impressive? It was they brought him out for a second inning, which the last time the Yankees did that, brought a pitcher out for a second inning, Betances, it didn't work. And Canley really breezed through that top of the seventh, striking out the side. I don't know the exact amount of pitches, but that really kind of set up the bottom of the inning when they really busted this open.
And David Robertson is just fine. That grand slam didn't ruin his career.
Yeah, he's going to be just fine. And just going back to the Holder decision, you know, I thought that one was a little questionable, bringing him in when it's a close game at that point. But in general, I think when it comes to Boone's bullpen decisions so far, it's been more a lack of execution on the pitchers that are coming in. And you know what? As electric as the guys are that are out there, they can't be perfect every time out.
Yeah, major league hitters are going to hit every now and then.
Better to get the hiccups out of the way now.
Absolutely.
And just like major league pitchers are going to falter from time to time. I mean, in some level, it's the same concept back when Mariano Rivera would be pitching and you get to August and the guy would blow a couple saves and people would be like, what's wrong with Mariano? The answer is nothing. It just happens. And
They're people.
Right.
The other thing today that I think needs to be mentioned is Brett Gardner. I mean, what a game he had. You forget about it. It's with all that Didi did, it was Gardner who had the bunt that you know, turns into a throwing error that puts the Yankees ahead. Back when they needed it. And yeah, it was a tie game. He pushes that bunt up there. Then also had the big hit where the infield hit, leading to Didi's other home run, where the head first dive actually worked going into first base. But before all of that too, the throw from center field in the second inning.
Well, that was what really stood out to me. I was watching the Mets Cardinals the other day. I don't know if you saw, but Tommy Pham in center field went and cut off Marcelo Ozuna and left, who has a way better arm than Tommy Pham. And you know, Yoenis Cespedes scores on an easy sac fly when he probably wouldn't be running in the first place. And today, Judge was kind of shadowing Gardner, and I figured, all right, he might take charge. He's got the better arm. But I mean, Gardner nailed it.
Well, just the overall execution of the throw from the time that he caught the ball, made the play, and just how quickly he released it from the glove, and just to be able to throw that really kind of perfect strike was really, really impressive. I mean, it's kind of not a lost play, but kind of an overshadowed play, being that it happened so early in a game where they scored 11 runs. But at the time, that's a really significant play.
What is, to just wrap up here from the stadium in this portion of the show, what do you guys take away from this game?
I take away that Didi Gregorius isn't leaving the cleanup spot anytime soon. I think we can go with that.
For me, one, it's that this lineup is as scary as we all thought it was. And two, just piggybacking on the Didi Gregorius train, I mean, this guy's one of the best shortstops in baseball. And I think he has been for the last 2 to 3 seasons. And not enough people realize that, because it's a crowded pool of young talent at the position in the game right now, but he's up there with the best of them, and it's impossible to debate at this point.
Yeah, we were sitting together in the press box. You asked me, other than Correa and Lindor, who would I put ahead of him in the American League? And I couldn't come up with anybody. And the only National League guy that I could say would be Corey Seager.
Yeah.
That makes Didi a top five shortstop.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
at
you know,
least, no matter how you
technically Machado's up there at this point. You can throw Simmons and Bogarts into the conversation, but I think Gregorius is definitely ahead of those guys. It's a talented pool of players, and he's part of it.
All right, guys, thanks so much for doing this, and we'll all be here at the stadium on and off throughout the season.
Glad to do it.
Glad to do it.
All right, before we move on, I should tell you that if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Yankees, the best way to do that is to send an email to lockedonnyy@gmail.com, and we'll hook you right up. That's lockedonnyy@gmail.com. All right, so the next thing I want to talk about here is I said I would get back into it, and it's Stanton striking out five times. Gonna happen. Stanton, it hasn't happened before. He's never had a five strikeout game in his career. Previous high was four. But, you know, that's this Yankees lineup. They'll get you up five times to strike out five times sometimes. And, yeah, there's nowhere to go but up from here for him. But the crazy thing is him getting booed. And I think that in some ways it's just sort of fans are booing the concept of a guy striking out five times. And it's not booing the person. And I think, you know, of everybody, Didi Gregorius really had a really good read on the whole thing.
There's always, fans are always going to boo you. And the reason why they boo you is because they want you to do good. It's not because they hate you. They want you to do good. And that's the reason why you're here. You know, that's what I learned. And the only way to get better is to just keep putting more work. And that's what all these guys are doing. And it's not just, I mean, it's a bad day today, but tomorrow if you get five home runs, everybody's going to forget about it. So, no, it's just stuff like that. You know, it's one things that you learn and you got to talk to each other and figure it out.
So Didi's right about that. It's one game out of 81, and get another game tomorrow, and Stanton could have a great day on Wednesday. I guess that's today, now that you're hearing this on Wednesday. Yankees will face the Rays again. Luis Severino against Blake Snell. Set you up for that one, I guess. That's the effective preview for that game. And, yeah, who knows? Stanton could hit a bunch of home runs and really get things going. And forever from now, nobody's going to remember. He got booed in his home opener. It'll be an anecdote, and I think that Stanton, for his part, really took it in stride, too.
Put up a performance like that, you should get some booze. So, like I said, not ideal, but you know, we got plenty more.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and debate Stanton on whether or not you should get booed when you have a game like that. I mean, it was, especially the fifth one. At that point of the game, the Yankees are running away with it. There's no reason for it. And it's the home opener. Yeah, you have high expectations for this guy, but you just, like, I don't know. If I was there with my kids and my kids started booing a guy for that, I'd be like, don't boo. Come on. And I feel like that's, it's something where it's like, yeah, we excuse it and we dismiss it and players are going to say the right thing, but it's just, it's a bad look. And I can't get behind it. I can't get behind booing your own players under most circumstances. And I understand that it happens. And, you know, I think when I was younger, I would have done it too. You get into that sort of frame of mind of, you know, this is New York, we're tough and all that. I can't get with it at this point in the game, man. It's not right. It's not what I would want to see or do as a fan, but that's, you know, that's me in 2018, and I understand that, you know, your mileage may vary, and certainly if you're a person that was out there booing, it's your right to do so, but, you know, I wouldn't do it, and, you know, boos are going to be louder than supportive silence anyway, so that's how it's going to go. And then, you know, people start booing and then more boos come, and it's just, it's messy. It was the one lousy mark on a really good day, and that really good day for the Yankees included, you know, obviously what Didi Gregorius did. And I want to just play a little clip of Aaron Boone talking about that, because I thought that was something worth hearing.
You know, I think everyone around the game understands what a good player
what a big time money player he's become. And I think everyone, certainly his peers, I think have a lot of respect for him around the league, and the guys in our room, really respect and just who he is. And there are a lot of fun comments on the bench, like, man, just about their teammate. It was quite a show he put on tonight.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier with Gary and Larry, but it's hard to look at Didi Gregorius as anything but a top five shortstop in baseball right now, and what he means to the Yankees. Boone is absolutely right. As far as just what he means to this team, he's sort of their unofficial spokesman on Twitter. With the post game tweets, and it was. Really something, the way that, what's he going to do on a day when he drives in eight runs? He shouts out Jordan Montgomery for the performance that he had and the rest of the offense and the bullpen. And when he was having his own press conference, he talked about how, Gardner and Judge were on base ahead of him all afternoon. And it's true. It really is. But this is also a guy who comes up, in big spots time and time again. You have the home run in the wild card game against Minnesota that was so big as far as, getting the Yankees back in that game and launching them on their playoff run. The two home runs in Game 5 in Cleveland that, gave the Yankees that win and got them into the ALCS. Didi Gregorius has been a huge player. And, you think about the shoes that he had to fill coming in and being the guy who replaced Derek Jeter at shortstop. And not as a guy who, like Tino Martinez, really had a track record of success with the Mariners, was an important part of that team when the Yankees brought him in to replace Don Mattingly. I think that's the closest analogy to come by is a guy that the Yankees traded for to fill a position vacated by a team legend. The way that Didi's handled it and really come into his own and done things that Derek Jeter could never do. He's a totally different player, and he's his own player, and he hasn't tried to be Derek Jeter or replace Derek Jeter. He's tried to be Didi Gregorius, and he has absolutely succeeded for that. And the love that his teammates feel for him is real and genuine, and I think that that's true of the love that the fans have for him as well. Two curtain calls on the home opener and fans chanting his name, and it was something to see. He's a guy who has taken this and made it something. And there's going to be talk about Manny Machado, and I think Didi Gregorius is a big reason that may not happen. He's a huge part of this team and a great player. He's a really valuable player. He's a super defensive shortstop. He's obviously a real good hitter, and just the cleanup man for the New York Yankees. I don't know how you go about replacing him. I know Machado's, technically a third baseman, wants to play shortstop. He's been playing more shortstop, so we'll see where all that goes. But the Yankees' present is sure in good hands with Didi Gregorius at shortstop and as a huge, huge part of this team and somebody that, you need to talk about. It's not just Stanton, Judge, Sanchez. Didi's right in the middle of that. He's the cleanup man here. All right, we'll talk a little bit more. There's one more thing to get to today, so stay with us for that. But first, I should tell you that if you are in a position where you'd like to subscribe to Locked On Yankees, you should. If you're in a position, of course you're in a position. If you'd like to subscribe to Locked On Yankees, you should. And you can find us on your iTunes, your Google Play, your Spotify, whatever. If you're not finding Locked On Yankees where you subscribe to podcasts, drop a line to LockedOnNYY@gmail.com or tweet at LockedOnYankees. Let us know so we can get the podcast where it needs to be for you to get it. And if you are finding the show, wherever you find it, do us a favor and write a review there. Let the world know that you're enjoying Locked On Yankees. Thanks a lot. So it's been 40 years, obviously, since 1978. The year that the Yankees came all the way back in the American League East, beat the Boston Red Sox, and Bucky Dent, as he likes to say, got his middle initial, the letter F, in Boston for the home run that he hit in the one-game playoff to determine the American League East Championship that year when he hit the home run off Mike Torres and into the net over the Green Monster. I'm not sure how widely it's known, but Bucky Dent used Mickey Rivers' bat to hit that home run. And at the home opener, throwing out the ceremonial first pitch, were Mickey Rivers and Bucky Dent together. And Bucky Dent told the story of exactly how that came to be with the bat and, you know, with Mickey right by his side. And let's hear Bucky tell that story first.
I had been struggling before that game, you know, and so we were standing by the batting cage, and I said, "Hey, homie," he used a model similar to mine. I said, "Hey, homie, let me use your bat today," you know, and he said, "Sure." So I started using it in batting practice, and I cracked it just under the tape. And so in the seventh inning, when I fouled the ball off, I wasn't paying attention because I was worrying about my leg. I was walking back towards the plate, and he goes, "Hey, homie, you got the wrong bat," you know, and I still wasn't paying attention. And the bat boy, he told the bat boy, "Go give it to me," and he walked up and gave me the bat, and the first pitch that Torres threw me, I hit the ball in the net.
So here's a question. What happened to the bat?
We don't know. Somebody took it. It wasn't my bat. It was his, so I didn't worry about it, you know. But somebody said that they took it, and I got a letter when I was managing in Columbus. I forgot what year it was, and the guy said if I wanted to see it, I could come by and see it. He paid like $64,000 for it. And I told Mickey, I said, "We need to go by there and say, that ain't the bat. See what happens to him."
You know, this was great about it, you know. That year back there, because the boss wanted everything exciting for the peoples. Yeah. He wanted, you know, we couldn't do no wrong, you know, without getting chewed at or fine or stuff like that. But he wanted to win. The main thing he wanted to see, don't embarrass the peoples in New York.
Yeah, you wanted to win.
That was his main thing. I don't care how much money he could get anything, but as long as you don't embarrass the peoples in New York, he was happy about it.
So that home run obviously tied Bucky Dent and Aaron Boone together in history, and now you know, Bucky Dent was manager of the Yankees for a time, and now Aaron Boone is. So I asked, you know, have they had a chance to speak? And if so, what has Bucky Dent had to say to Aaron Boone?
Oh, no, just saw him in the dugout, you know, wish him good luck, because the last time I threw a ball out was with him, you know, and... Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him. You know, he's got a good club, and we're hoping for good things for him.
Right, he's a good guy. Anyway, yeah. He's a good guy. You know, you want the best for the good guys. You know, we've seen the ups and downs from us generation, and now we know he'll be great for this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was very cool. Very much worth missing the first inning and a half of the game for to get to hear from Bucky Dent and Mickey Rivers, and, you know, just be part of that and listen to those guys talk, because anytime you get to hear stories and stuff like that from guys who played you know, back in the day, it's always real cool. We'll move forward in the days ahead, and one home game down, 80 to go for the Yankees. First one a success. Yankees now at 3-2 on this young season, and scoring runs, even with two home runs from Giancarlo Stanton on opening day, zero home runs from Aaron Judge, who is swinging the bat a little bit, and Gary Sanchez doing pretty much nothing, though he did really rip the ball on a double play. So it's not like the bat's totally not there for Gary Sanchez, but, you know, what we're learning, there's a lot more, and Didi Gregorius is a big part of that. 8 RBIs, a day that will not soon be forgotten. Unbelievable watching that in the Bronx, and well worth the wait after the snow out and then the rain delay. So come on back, subscribe, rate, review, do all that stuff, and yeah, we're really going now. Season is underway, home game in the books. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.